Welcome to Torati Machanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we study Perek Chaf Dalet, Chapter 24. Chapter 23 took us through Yoshiyahu's heroic efforts to bring Bnei Yisrael back to avoid disaster, but he died in war, and his sons, Yehoahaz and Yehoyakim, will be really next to useless in terms of bringing Bnei Yisrael back home. And here we stand so close to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the second last chapter of our Sefer. And once again, we read this with tears. It begins with Pasuk Aleph. Verse 1. B'yamav Allah Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel Vayihi Lo Yehoyakim Eved Shalosh Shanim Vayashav Vayimrad Bo. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, ascended and Yehoyakim served him for 3 years and then returned and rebelled against him. Once again, we struggle with the years. When exactly did those 3 years take place? According to Radak, based on Psukim in Yirmiyahu, Yehoyakim's fourth year coincided with the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. He paid taxes to Nebuchadnezzar for those 3 years. And so it was in Yehoyakim's eighth year that he rebels. It's also helpful to realize our story in context of world history. Egypt and Babylon, both competing world powers, and at this time, Egypt is definitely falling, while Babylon is ascendant, on its way to be a super world power. Verse 2. Vayishlach Hashem eskedudei kastim veskedudei aram veskedudei moav veskedudei bnei amon vayishalchim b'yehuda lahavido kidvar Hashem asher diber b'yad avadav hanviim. Hashem incited against him bands of Kastim, bands of Aramaeans, bands of Moabites, bands of the children of Ammon, and he incited them against Yehuda to destroy it according to the word of Hashem, which he had spoken through his servants, the prophets. We see Yirmiyahu write this very carefully. One may shrug off this parak as but a small detail in the rise of the Babylonian Empire. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar wants Yehuda. It is geographically important due to its adjacency to Mitzrayim. It's just another conquest. And so the Navi tells us, do you know why this happened? This is not about Babylon or Assyria or Egypt. These are the words of Hashem as prophesied by his prophets. And why? Verse 3. Ach al pi Hashem hayisa b'Yehuda lahasir me'al panav b'chatos menashe kechol asher asa. Indeed, it was by order of Hashem against Yehuda to remove them from his presence because of the sins of Menashe according to all that he had done. Verse 4. V'gam dam hanaki asher shafach v'yimaleis Yerushalayim dam naki v'lo ava Hashem lisloach. And also, because of the innocent blood that he had shed, and he had filled Yerushalayim with innocent blood, and Hashem did not want to forgive. Here, once again, the sin of murder is accentuated. In a way, there is no act as horrific as violently ending someone else's life. And the idea that this was happening, the idea that Jews were engaging in such unfathomably awful acts, is so troubling. In Malachim Beis, the story of Yehoyakim concludes in verse 5. V'yeser divrei Yehoyakim b'chol asher asa halo heim ksuvim al sefer divrei hayamim l'malchei Yehuda. The rest of the deeds of Yehoyakim and all that he did are written in the book of Chronicles of Yehuda's kings. And verse 6. V'yishkav Yehoyakim im avosav v'yimloch Yehoyachin b'no tachtav. Yehoyakim lay with his forefathers, and Yehoyachin, his son, reigned in his place. It is actually in Sefer Yirmiyahu chapter 22 that we find out more details about the terrible sins of Yehoyakim. One of his terrible acts was to burn Yirmiyahu's writings, maybe Megillas Echa. And then in verse 7, V'lo hosif od melech Mitzrayim latzeis me'artzo, ki lakach melech Bavel minachal Mitzrayim ad nahar pras, Kol asher hayisa lemelech Mitzrayim. The king of Egypt no longer left his land, for the king of Babel had taken from the river of Egypt until the Euphrates River all the territory that belonged to the king of Egypt. These later years of the first Beis HaMikdash, Bayis Rishon, there were times that Egypt was seen by Yehuda as an ally or hope. But they are going down and can't even protect themselves from Babylon, let alone Israel. And now a new king, Jehoiachin, or as he is called, Yechaniah, verse 8, Ben Shmonasre Shana Jehoiachin b'malcho, Ushloshach Hadashim, Malach b'Yerushalayim, V'shem Imo, Nechushta, Bas, El Nasan b'Yerushalayim. There is a discrepancy between this verse and its counterpart in Divrei Hayamim. There it writes that Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he became king. Many commentators discuss it and conclude that Jehoiakim had announced in his lifetime that his son Jehoiachin would be the next king. And so the verse in Divrei Hayamim records that moment when Jehoiakim is still king, but crowns his son as heir to the throne. And our verse refers to the actual moment that he became king. And as it turns out, it only lasted 3 months. Verse 9, Vayas hara b'inei Hashem kichol asher asa aviv. And he did bad in the eyes of Hashem, like all that his father had done. As we have seen, every time there is a new king, there is a new chance for teshuvah. And so this is another tragically missed opportunity. And now in verse 10, Nebuchadnezzar ascends to Yerushalayim and sieges the city. And verse 12, Vayete Yehoiachin Melach Yehuda al Melach Bavel, Hu v'imo v'avadav v'sara v'sarisav, Vayikach oso Melach Bavel, Vishnas Shmoneh l'malcho. Thereupon King Jehoiachin of Yehuda, along with his mother and his courtiers, commanders, and officers, surrendered to the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon took him captive in the 8th year of his reign. Radak explains here that when Jehoiachin, or Yechaniah, saw the huge Babylonian army, this army that had already taken his father, Jehoiakim, he tried one desperate move. He came out with all his family, all his servants, to demonstrate, "We will serve you, I surrender, we'll be loyal to you, you don't need to capture and exile us, we will be your slaves." But Nebuchadnezzar's servants had already convinced him that, as Rashi in Gemara Megillah says, a good puppy does not come from a bad dog. And Nebuchadnezzar takes him and imprisons him. And not just that. Nebuchadnezzar steals, removes all the silver and gold from the Beis HaMikdash. Do you remember in Perek Chaf, chapter 20, when we were warned about this moment? When Chizkiyahu had showed the officers of Bavel all the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash, and Yeshayahu told him that all those treasures would be stolen by Bavli men? Here in our chapter, we watch it happen. Verse 13, Vayotzei misham es kol otros beis Hashem, v'otros beis hamelech, vayikatzit es kol klei hazahav, asher asa Shlomo melech Yisrael beheichal Hashem, kasher diber Hashem. He removed from there all the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash of Hashem and the treasures of the king's palace, and he stripped off all the golden decorations that Shlomo, the king of Yisrael, had made in the temple of Hashem, as Hashem had spoken. Verse 14, V'higla es kol Yerushalayim, v'es kol hasarim, v'es kol giborei hachayel, Aseres alafim gole v'chol hacharash v'hamasker. Verse 14, he exiled all of Yerushalayim, all of the officers, all the mighty warriors, 10,000 exiles, and all the craftsmen and gatekeepers. No one remained except for the poorest of the people of the land. Who are these people who were named hacharash v'hamasker? The Gemara talks about them in Gittin 88 and says, Charash as in cheresh, meaning deaf, because when they would introduce a statement, everyone would become like deaf people, as they would not understand. That's how brilliant their ideas were. And masker, which stems from the root samach gimel resh, meaning to close, alludes to the fact that once they would close a certain matter that they did not comprehend, no one would introduce it again, as no one was capable of solving such a problem. They were the chachamim, the wise men, the leaders. At this point, all the upper edges of society, all the leaders were taken. How tragic. Imagine what the people must have felt like, leaderless and bereft. However, that same page in the Gemara sees it differently. It discusses a pasuk, a verse in Daniel chapter 9. Vayishkod Hashem al hara'a, vayivi'eha aleinu, ki tzadik Hashem Elokeinu, al kol ma'asav asher asa, v'lo shamanu b'kolo. Hashem hastened with the evil, and he brought it upon us. For Hashem, our God, is righteous in all of his acts which he performs, and we did not listen to his voice. The Gemara asks, what kind of tzedakah, righteous and kind ways, does this signify about Hashem? Hastening and bringing punishment? The Gemara answers, Ela tzedakah asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu im Yisrael, shehigla galus tzidkiyahu, va'adayin galus yechanya kayemes, dechzivbe begalus yechanya hecharash v'hamasker elef. Rather, the Gemara explains, it must be interpreted as follows. The Holy One, blessed be He, performed charity with the people of Israel by exiling them in the exile of Tzidkiyahu while the exile of Yechaniah still existed in Babylonia. And then brings down our verse about this exile. What does this mean? When these leaders were taken into exile at this early stage, it seemed like the worst possible thing for the Jewish people. But sometimes, in the intricate tapestry of history, our enemies unwittingly weave threads of salvation. And Galus Yechaniah is an excellent example of this. What our enemies did in order to destroy us actually saved us. Hashem, in his kindness, was setting the stage for our survival in what would be our new home. How so? Hashem actually, so to speak, sent the leaders ahead to build up the community, set up infrastructure, so that by the time the rest of the nation would end up there, broken and traumatized, there would be a healthy and robust community waiting for them with open arms and open hearts. I think about Yehuda being sent ahead by Yaakov as the Jews went down to Mitzrayim. I think about the first Jewish immigrants to America who built shuls, hospitals, mikvaos, and were ready to embrace the many Holocaust survivors years later. And the fact that in the midst of punishment and destruction, Hashem was busy working out the details of our survival is just mind-boggling and so comforting. Now, we know some famous people who were exiled around this time, connected to this Galus Yechaniah, exile of Yechaniah, sometimes called Galus HaChirish V'Hamasker, like Daniel and his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and also Mordechai, maybe Esther, Yecheskel. Well, back to our Perek, Pasuk Tesva, verse 15, it finally happens. Yehoyachin, his mother, his wives, officers, everyone, they brought out of Yerushalayim to Bavel. And verse 16, all the soldiers in these Cheresh v'Hamasker, everyone taken to exile. And verse 17, Vayamlech melech Bavel es Matanya dodo tachtav, vayasev es Shemo Tzidkiyahu. The king of Bavel crowned Matanya, his uncle, in his stead, and he changed his name to Tzidkiyahu. Ben Esrim, in verse 18, Ben Esrim v'achas shana Tzidkiyahu b'malcho, v'achad esrei shana malach b'Yerushalayim, v'shem imo chamutal bas Yirmiyahu milivna. He was 21 years old, Tzidkiyahu, when he became king, and he ruled for 11 years in Yerushalayim. His mother's name was Chamutal, the daughter of Yirmiyahu from Livna. Verse 19, Vayas hara b'inei Hashem kechol asher asa Yehoyakim. He did evil in the eyes of Hashem, like all that Yehoyakim had done. Verse 20, Ki al af Hashem hayisa b'Yerushalayim uv'Yehuda ad hishlicho osam me'al panav. Vayimrod Tzidkiyahu b'melech Bavel. Indeed, the wrath of Hashem was against Yerushalayim and Yehuda until he cast them away from before his presence. Tzidkiyahu rebelled against the king of Babel. Again, it made no sense for Tzidkiyahu to rebel. After seeing what happened to his family, to his kingdom, why on earth would he take such a dangerous risk? The pasuk tells us it was the wrath of Hashem, Lev Melachim Biyad Hashem, the heart of kings are in the hands of God. And here we have an example of perhaps Tzidkiyahu truly being a pawn in the hands of Hashem because, so tragically, the time has finally run out. And we finish this parak with a sense of foreboding, aware of the truly tragic final chapter in the book of Malachim Beis that lies ahead. Thank you for studying together Li'iloi Nishmot Imahotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer Aleha HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker Aleha HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacies to the next generations.